1-800-449-8686. And now, Phil Hendry.
It was absolutely fantastic. We loved every minute of it, and we're going to be going back there very, very shortly.
All right, we're on the air now, Ted. Phil Hendry. And our number, 1-800-449-8686, Ted Bell with Ted's of Beverly Hills. You were back last month from the Pacific Rim Restaurateurs Association meeting, right?
Yes. I had been over there with the Pacific Rim business people and the Asian Pacific Restaurant Roundtable. And I got to tell you something, Phil. I have been running Ted's of Beverly Hills for 21 years. My father, as you know, unfortunately did not run that business well. And to be very candid, he drank the profits up.
Well, I know there was that in your background.
But I want to say something to you because I have been in the restaurant business. I am respected in my field. My name is Ted Bell. That does have some currency in the business. I had something in the Philippines in Manila that was so wonderful. It's done with a garlic. There's a garlic pepper that they use. And there is a cumin. They marinate it. It was absolutely delicious. I want you to know about this, Phil, because it's a little bit unconventional. We're using it at our restaurant now.
All right, is this something you're thinking about for the restaurant, or you're using it?
Well, we've done it. It's on the menu.
It's on the menu.
Right. I've kept my fingers crossed, and I got to tell you something. People absolutely love it.
Okay, well, what is it?
Well, I think what it is a statement as to how I'm able to gauge the taste of people.
And what is it?
All right. What I'm saying is that I want you to keep an open mind, all right?
All right, I got to know. What is it?
It's cat. It's cat.
Cat.
Phil, these are raised. They are farmed like other meat. The Filipinos call them gato. They use the meat in stews, stir fries, even as a starter. What we do is we tenderize the meat.
Are you serving cat in your restaurant?
We are serving certain cuts of the cat, and we're using the meat in some of our chilies and some of our stews. It is absolutely fantastic.
I would not eat that kind of meat.
Well, unfortunately, what we want you to do, Phil, is to come down and judge our chili contest this weekend. You are absolutely going
to
love it.
I don't want to go down to a chili contest that with cat meat. I'm not even sure it's legal to serve cat meat in an American restaurant.
No, it's perfectly legal. There's nothing wrong with it. Here's the thing. If it's done right, and that's the point that I wanted to make. If it's done right, if it's marinated properly, if it's seasoned properly, cat is wonderful. It's really wonderful.
I don't want to judge any chili eating contest.
Well, I'm a sponsor on your program. I was at. They told me I could have you for a personal appearance.
People are not going to eat cat.
Phil, I'm Ted Bell, and what does that mean when I say I'm Ted Bell? I know what people like. I know it's unusual. I've asked you to keep an open mind.
It's good, huh?
It's absolutely good.
Look, I guess if they have a choice, is the Philippines a long way to go to ship cat meat, though, all right?
Well, we use local cats. I had a bit of a fight on my hands with the area animal hospitals, but three of them have seen a couple of the veterinarians have had the chili. Many people bring their pets in to be treated at local animal hospitals, and we're able to do a deal whereby about half of those, and you can tell the owners that the animal didn't make it, half of them are used in some of the recipes.
You are serving cat at your restaurant using cats that you get from local animal hospitals from people who brought their cat there to be treated.
That's right. And I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking it's dishonest and it's illegal. It's not necessarily illegal if the animal is already... In other words, the doctor can make a judgment call if he wants to treat the animal, or the people can come and take the animal home, or the animal is allowed to expire.
Ted, you got families bringing their cats into animal hospitals, and you are now taking that cat and rendering it as food and serving it in your restaurant. Are you having the vets kill the cat?
I am not having vets. What? Two things, Phil. It's not against the law to kill a cat. That's the first thing you have to understand. It's not against the law to kill an animal. The vet doesn't do it. Our chef does it. He is a Filipino chef. He knows how to render the vet's cuts. I gotta tell you something, Phil. It is an exquisite treat. I understand every misgiving that you have for it. I need for you to be down for this chili cook-off because it's going to be a debut, if you will. I understand how you feel.
All right. The two problems that I've got is that cats that were brought to an animal hospital to be treated are suddenly missing and are killed by your chef and put into chili served in your restaurant. What about the people who bring their cats in to have them treated?
They are told the animal didn't make it. They are told that the animal was died. I don't know what you want.
Well, what do you say to a child whose cat you've killed?
Well, the doctor tells, if it's a little kid, you tell him the kitty was sick, and they can get a new cat. So I'm Ted Bell. I have a son. A child will get over these things. The cat meat is wonderful. The veterinarians look the other way. What I'm going
to... Do you go to the animal hospitals?
In what sense?
Do you go to the animal hospitals to pick out the meat?
About once a month, yeah. We'll go through, and I know what you're thinking, and I think it's wrong.
It's got to be illegal to kill someone's pet without cause.
I don't, not that I know of, no.
So what do you say to the little kid?
You know something, Phil? If the child's kitten is gone or the cat's gone, what we wanted to do is invite the family over to the restaurant. They can have chili on us.
So now you're bringing over the kid. Do you understand how ghoulish this is? Now the kid who lost their own cat comes to your restaurant and eats the cat?
Okay, here's what I'm saying.
No, what you're saying is you go to an animal hospital, you get a cat that belonged to a little child, your chef kills it so the vet doesn't have to, you make chili out of it, and then you serve it to that kid. Do you tell the kid?
What we say to the child is simply... I know how you feel. Are you enjoying the chili? And they always say, yes, it's very good. See, your kitty is giving something back to you.
You tell the child that they're eating their own cat.
You know, maybe I had a call back or something, Phil.
I gotta know what you're doing, because I think if I'm going to be involved in a promotion for you, I think you're breaking the law.
You are. I'm Ted Bell, Phil. I've been in the restaurant business. Now you're stepping over the line a little bit. I'm Ted Bell. I've been in the restaurant business for 21 years.
No, I don't know, but I think you are. All right? 1-800-449-8686, the number on the Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills.
No, if you're accusing me of breaking the law, you're stepping over the line.
Well, what do you call it? I want to ask you...
I'm going to tell you what I call it. I call it a business relationship entered into freely. There's nothing in the law that says you can't eat cat meat. There's nothing in the law that says that it's against the law to kill a cat. It's not murder. The only law that's being broken is that you don't have an open mind, Phil. I think that's a law that ought to be honored, to have an open mind.
Ted, I would come down and I'd eat cat meat if you told me that it's that...
No, let the record show you didn't want to come down. You said you didn't want to come down.
Well, you... No, wait. What I said was...
No, you said you didn't want to come down because you didn't want to eat cat meat.
What I said was, it didn't sound good. I also said that I didn't want to eat cat meat. You're right. But let me say this. I'd eat cat meat if it meant that it was cats that you weren't killing that was belonged to some kid.
Let's remember a couple of basics, because I think we're getting way over our heads. I'm a sponsor on your show. I'm Ted Bell. I'm a sponsor on your show. I think the answer to my question... Phil, will you come down and judge a chili cook-off, is yes, you will.
Or what?
How can I continue to give you my money as an advertiser?
So if I don't come down and eat your cat chili...
I don't know how I can remain as a sponsor.
I think there's something wrong, Ted. I think there's something very seriously wrong.
Oh, let's not get dramatic, Phil. It is absolutely delicious. And the cats that we are using are from area animal hospitals. I am assured by the veterinarians these are animals that are not going to make it. The people are told that the animal was taken to the Humane Society. No law is being broken. And in the meantime, a delicacy considered in many countries to be a delicacy is served at our restaurant. And on top of that, yes, we save a lot of overhead. We could use stray cats.
Well, I was going to ask you, why don't you use a stray?
They're very gamey. They're very salty. They don't have the same texture. They're not as good. Hello?
I'm here. I'm 1-800-449-8686. I wouldn't eat cat meat, but I sure as hell don't think that he ought to be using whatever cats he's using for his cat chili, animals from an animal hospital. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills is on the air. He is making chili out of cat meat at his restaurant. And the cats that he's using come from some area animal hospitals where the vet looks the other way. He says the vet doesn't kill him. His chef does, who's a Filipino chef. He also says that if the child complains about not having their cat, they're invited to the restaurant to have some of the chili. And, you know, Ted, you have to understand something.
No, you have to understand. I'm Ted. I'm listening to what you're saying. I'm Ted Bell. Do you know what that means in this town? I'm Ted Bell.
No, you got to understand that a little kid that just lost their cat doesn't want to go in and eat it.
If you saw the looks on the faces of those kids, they wipe their mouths with a napkin and go, mm-mm. You know, just like Mom used to make.
And then you lay it on them, by the way, that snowball.
I do not say that. I say, with respect, the kitty that didn't, you remember your kitty didn't live? Well, he's now nourishing you.
Oh, God.
Oh, Phil, don't be dramatic.
God! Remember the kitty that didn't live? He's now nourishing you.
That's what you say to a child, and that's how you were able to break the impasse in the minds of a lot of people who are overly sentimental about their pets. We take a look at cats and dogs, Phil. This is a food resource that has long been neglected. I'm Ted Bell. I know the future of the restaurant business, and I don't know that you do.
Oh, so now we're sentimental about our pets.
You got it.
1-800-449-8686. Somebody loves their cat. Take the cat, turn it into chili. All right, Ted's of Beverly Hills is having a chili cook-off this weekend, the meat, some of which is cat. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't think what you're doing is legal.
Phil, I am Ted Bell. I own Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse.
I know who you are, okay?
No, you don't know who I am. I have been a restaurateur in this town for 21 years. I'm Ted Bell. And when people come to my restaurant, they want a taste experience that is different. We went to the Philippines. We appreciated what they had been able to do with cat and cat meat. And we are serving it at our restaurant. And I'm sorry if we're using pets that you and other people who are overly attached sentimentally to pets think should not be rendered. But when we render a pet, we do it in a very tasteful way. And
yeah, and then you've got the children eating it.
We invite the family.
1-800-449-8686. Some little kid that lost their pet. Here is Marvin on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Fine.
I was just wondering, is it Mr. Bell, I think, that owns the restaurant?
Yes, sir.
I'm just wondering, I mean, I understand that different cultures with the with cows, how we slaughter, and other cultures don't observe what we do, but my question really is about the children. What kind of explanation do you offer to a child that has some sort of an emotional...
This is really a moot point. We're talking about operating a multimillion-dollar business.
But I don't know if it's a moot point because the child, there seems to be an emotional issue attached because of the child aspect, especially if it's a kid.
Well, the emotional, pet. What we say is have you ever had a daughter or a son have a pet die? You tell them that the pet died. What's the secret? What's the secret about telling a child that the pet died?
But I don't tell my child that the pet died and we're having him for dinner.
I say to that child that your cat died, the doctor couldn't save him, but we were able to make him into something that we might have some fun with.
Oh, my God. You might have some fun with?
You know, so, yes. It's a very, very delicious entree.
But an 8-year-old, could they conceptualize?
Are you telling the kid that you're eating, she's eating her pet?
That is, I have found, Phil, I don't know whether either one of you guys have any kids.
And I have four, thank you very much.
All right. Do you have kids, Marvin?
I work with kids. I don't have kids of my own.
Well, how would you tell a child that?
I would not bring a child in to eat his or her own.
Let me ask you a question. Are you aware of the fact that many children, especially when they're young, play with their food?
Yes, I am.
All right, children play with their food. What else does a child play with?
Well, children play with a number of things,
right.
I don't understand.
For instance, they play with their pets, don't they?
Correct.
There isn't really, in my mind, a difference.
A difference between what?
Between, in this instance, there's no difference between playing with one's cat and then eventually playing with the food. You're playing with, you're having fun with it. That's what I'm saying.
Wait a second.
You ask Marvin if he has kids. You don't have to have kids to understand how we're feeling.
I'm Ted Bell. I've owned a restaurant for 20...
I know you're Ted Bell.
You keep saying that, Ted.
I want you to appreciate it. I've been a restaurateur in the Beverly Hills area for 21 years.
You know what? Frankly, I do appreciate that. I have a cousin who's a chef.
He owns three
restaurants.
I certainly
appreciate that. And I even appreciate cultures and cuisine because of the diversity.
And you've traveled. I imagine you've traveled.
Absolutely.
All right.
And I do know that monkey brain, and I could list a whole host of animals that are deliciously used as cuisine.
Especially in the Pacific Rim nations.
The point that I caught into the middle of the conversation, and I found it interesting.
Yes, sir.
Because my main concern was something to do with the morality/emotional capacity for a child to truly be able to appreciate that this pet is giving them some sort of gratification, even though they miss it as this particular entity.
Well, the pet was something that they played with when the pet was alive. Once our chef gets a hold of it, obviously it's not alive anymore, but it's still fun. They come in with tortilla chips. They are
so. In other words, you say to this kid,
I can tell you this. We've only had one child cry in the time that we've been serving the cat chili. And that was a mistake that one of my chefs made. He found the animal's collar. It was not intended.
He found the animal's collar where?
It was a bad joke. Somebody put it on the plate.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, sir, you know, Good God Almighty. Well, what do you
mean? I'm certainly not closed-minded. I understand what you're trying, and I have no problem with serving cat if people know it's cat. I've had things that people would probably never eat before.
Well, we tell the children because it's something they deserve to know because it was their pet. Do
you tell the adults?
Well, what's the nature of your question? I don't understand.
Do you tell the adults who eat this chili that it's made out of cat?
It's not necessary. It's necessary to tell the children.
Wait a minute. I'm going to go into your restaurant, order up your chili, and it's made out of rendered cat, and you don't tell me.
You want to know why? Because I'm getting the heat that you two guys are giving me right now.
Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The way you made it sound, though, is that it's an let's move this aside just real quick here.
But I don't have to tell you it's cat. If you like the chili, what do you care whether it's cat?
Wait a minute. That's the issue, I guess, that I'm missing here.
What's the problem?
If you're serving this as a let's call it a delicacy, which it is known in other parts of the world.
Right.
Okay. Now, is it listed on your menu?
No, it is not.
Okay, so if I came in there and ate your chili,
yes.
are you telling me there's a possibility or it's a good possibility that I'd be eating cat chili?
Yes, sir.
Okay, there I have a problem with, and
if we gave you the bowl with the collar, you'd know.
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Oh, I see. So you serve your cat chili with a collar so people know it's...
It's like a wink-wink and a nudge-nudge.
Just come out and tell them you're serving them cat. 1-800-449-8686. Ted Bell serves cat chili at his restaurant. He's not telling anybody. It's a Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, before we get Ted back on the line, just to explain, Ted's of Beverly Hills is a steakhouse. And I've been told now, over the last few minutes, that the serving of cat meat could possibly be illegal, depending upon how the meat is prepared. But he is serving cat in his restaurant in a specially prepared chili. He had it. Let me just bring Ted back on here so we can find out where you're at right now, Ted. As I understand, you're in the kitchen area of your restaurant.
That is correct, Bill. And I heard some of your comments. Understand that I know the restaurant business. And if you're good enough at what you do, you can do a lot of things. What we have done is we've gone the world over looking for some of the great cuisines and some of the great entrees of the world's greatest cuisine. I think that Italian cuisine has been represented. I think that Mexican cuisine, Filipino cuisine has long been neglected in this country. What we want to do is bring to the American people this kind of thing. And
so you're making cat chili. What I'm hearing, are those dogs?
Yeah, hold on for just a minute. If you bring them in. Bring them in. I'm in the kitchen area of our restaurant, Phil. We have a kitchen area that is open out to our parking lot here.
Why am I hearing dogs? We're talking about... We've been talking for...
That's right.
We've been talking for 20 minutes about cat meat.
Hold on. That's true. The problem that we've got is that we have simply run out of our supply. And so... I guess I could ask you and I could ask your listeners. We are having our chili cook-off this weekend. How do you feel about dogs? Because what we want to do is...
Wait. Are we eating cat meat this weekend or what?
We want to... What we thought we could do is barbecue some... Just barbecue up some dogs. Not some dogs, but barbecue up a dog kebab or something.
Are those dogs out behind your apartment?
That's not my apartment.
I mean, behind your kitchen?
Yes. What do you think I'm trying to say? Yes, they're dogs.
And you're going to eat those?
I said we ran out of cat.
Where'd you get those?
Well, Mario and I drove around before I got on the air with you. I had my pickup truck. We just picked a few up out.
Just off the street, huh?
Yeah. We got dog on a cob, ribeye dog, and a...
Yeah, I'm going to go over and have some dog now. Ran out of cat. So let me try some of the dog. How does this guy stay in business? 1-800-4... Get out of here. 1-800-449-8686. It's the Phil Hendry Show. I am frankly amazed, Ted, that all of these things...
Mario, grab that Dalmatian, will you?
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
By the way, I did the voice of Ted Bell in that bit. The people that called in, well, they just thought he was a real guy. Now, from yesterday's show, Margaret sang a song for Ted because, as you know, he's rolling out his Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. And this was her tribute to Ted Bell.
Phil Hendry.
All right, here we go. One, two, one, two, three. And beneath this snowy mantle, cold and clean, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young then too. Anything it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. Spread for any man that came along.
Wait a minute. Whoa.
What?
That's not the lyrics to that. You know, it's one thing you can sing it flat if you want to, but...
What did I do wrong?
Spread for any man that comes along.
Oh, my God, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not it.
I'm sorry, I misread it.
Well, whatever the lyric sheet is that you've got there, make sure that you've got the right lyrics.
Phil, how many times do you want me to hear I'm sorry? I think it's boring for the audience. Let me go on.
Go ahead.
Ted, wherever you are, this is for you, darling. 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2, 3. Beneath the snowy mantle, cold and clean, The unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings the song he always sings and speaks to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. I hear voices when I'm in the bathroom. I think it's coming from a transmitter shoved in my back teeth.
Wait.
What?
Baby,
Wrong lyrics?
Yeah, wrong lyrics. I don't think the snowbird song has anything to do with I hear voices when I'm in the bathroom coming from transmitters shoved in my back teeth.
Oh, my God, you're right.
Yeah. Can we just do the song all the way through with the right lyrics?
Here we go. Ted, this is for you, darling. 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, and 1, 2.
Will you get to the song?
Beneath the snowy mantle, cold and clean. Oh, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings.
Get out of here.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
That's great. 1-800-449-8686. So here it is right here. Paramount Pictures wants to bring back The Honeymooners as a movie, a contemporary movie at that. Ralph Kramden, the character immortalized by Jackie Gleason, will be a New York bus driver to his neighbor Norton. The Art Carney character will be toiling in the sewers. Paramount and Deep River Productions have acquired screen rights to the classic series from CBS, and the studio has set Mad About You co-creator Danny Jacobson to write the script. I'll tell you, I could play Jackie Gleason. I don't know if they're going to do The Honeymooners. It doesn't matter. I could play Gleason as Gleason, or I could play Ralph Kramden. When it is difficult to imagine, or while it is difficult to imagine actors reprising the roles played indelibly by Gleason, Carney, Audrey Meadows, as Alice Kramden and Joyce Randolph as Trixie Norton, Jacobson will create some distance from direct comparisons by crafting, oh no, a modern story involving the foursome. But David Friendly, who produced with his Deep River Productions partner Mark Turtletaub, said the signature lines and themes will be intact. Oh, I don't know. You got to see him in that bus uniform. You got to see him in that 1950s bus uniform. What contemporary? Well, what does that mean? All right, why not make him black? Hey, that's a great idea. You guys kind of bringing that Honeymooners theme up to date. Make him a Mexican. The show, originating in 1951, is a recurring sketch on Dumont's Cavalcade of Stars and moved with Gleason to CBS as a running gag in the Jackie Gleason Show. He turned it into a series when he tired of the variety show grind, but the series only ran for one season. It's played in reruns ever since. Isn't that kind of funny about TV shows? One season and the thing's immortal because at that time, nobody watched it. It was, It's like that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. You ever watch that thing? You know that was a stiff when that came out? Nobody went to see it in the movie theaters. Nobody went to see that in the movie theaters. Nobody wanted to go see it. It was like right after World War II, I guess no one was... Everything was that film noir, deep, dark, moody, introspective, implosive, gay. But nobody wanted to see It's a Wonderful... And then Star Trek, there's another one. That thing, boy, it stunk the joint out. They gave it 3 seasons, then they couldn't stand the smell any longer, and they had to let it go. Next thing you know, oh, gee, all it's worth is about $800 billion, that's all. How do you figure these things out? I don't know. The goal here is for the audience to feel like I did after watching those original episodes, was that you laughed hard, but you got choked up because it was a great love story. It certainly won't be sappy, because after all, he was a blue-collar bus driver from Brooklyn, and there's an element of reality matched with those great characters. All right, cool. I don't know how I get into read for this thing, but that's the one deal on television I wouldn't mind doing. I could play Jackie Gleason, and I'm not just talking about having the, hey, all right, Norton. All right, Norton. You want to do that, Norton? You want to watch me go to the moon? I'll watch you go to... I can do that, but it's also getting into the whole, the man. All right, well, what do I know? I don't know. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. And, of course, our website has the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. I would like to mention that at this time. Brand spanking new on our website, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt. Now, what I would suggest is you get on over to Ted's, get yourself some cat chili or maybe some dog kebab, and go over to our website and pick up that great bowling shirt. In fact, go to Ted's wearing that shirt and order up a big bowl of cat chili. Order up a big bowl of cat. I got to be honest with you, I'm shocked we got a phone call on that bit. I am stunned we were able to actually get a phone call on that. Yeah, hi. I'm serving cat. Is it illegal to serve cat? Doesn't matter whether it's illegal to serve. Why do you even have to make a law about serving cat? Who's going to eat it? Other than our fine friends from the Philippines. Which, by the way, Craig, you were in the Philippines for a long time. Don't even tell me what you got in eating over there. Dog, okay. Well, at least it wasn't cat. All right, now listen to this. I saw a documentary on the police riots. When the police get out of hand. And they were talking about instances where police suddenly just lose their minds and they wade into a crowd with nightsticks and they wade into a crowd with shields. They were talking about this in relation to what's going on in the Middle East right now. And they were talking about it in relation to what happened in Pakistan during the aftermath of 9/11, a bunch of other stuff, right? And I'm sure we can all agree, as this documentary pointed out, that police, when the police got out of control, when the police stage what has been called a police riot, it is a bad thing. When cops get out of hand and wildly swing wildly ride on horseback into a crowd of people swinging PR-24s and nightsticks, this has got to be a bad thing, right? And I was thinking about it, and suddenly, I don't know what was wrong with me. Maybe there's nothing wrong with me. I said, well, there's times when I wouldn't mind seeing it, but it would be in certain situations. I swear to God, right after that came a news story about people sitting in line to see the new Star Wars movie. And suddenly the idea of police wading into a line of Star Wars fans wildly swinging nightsticks seemed okay. I mean, would it be that bad? Would it just be... Just for a few moments, would it be that bad to see all those schlubs who've been out there for years and years and years, that getinline.net out of Australia, standing there for 6 weeks waiting to see Jar Jar Binks and Darth Vader and all those other wonderful guys? What, a little truncheon wielding in that scene wouldn't be bad. How about this? Would this be bad? A police riot at a teddy bear convention, a teddy bear trading convention. Would that be a wrong thing? Here's the one that would be perfect, but although we would never see it, but it would just... What if the police completely went insane on the red carpet of the Academy Awards and just started swinging nightsticks? And, you know, you just see Julia Roberts running for her limousine with a split skull. Is that such a terrible thing to ask? And the people are up in the grandstands just, hey, you know, eating popcorn, taking pictures. Just the idea of guys with... those shields and those nightsticks and that riot gear just wading into a crowd of actors. Speaking of the Academy Awards, by now you've all probably heard it. Halle Berry, and I don't if you haven't heard this, I don't want this to come as a shock. Halle Berry has decided to give her Academy Award back because she has been dry heaving continuously at the thought that she won it in Spissy Spastic. What's her name? Sissy Spastic. She didn't get it. So anyway. Maybe neither one of them ought to get the thing. So Halle's the first one to give it back. She just looked at it, had a problem, and gave it back, man. She don't want it. In other news, reporters asked Mr. Hendry, that previous comment about Halle Berry having to give her Academy Award back, is that motivated by racism? No, it's not. But it could be. No, I just didn't dig her. I didn't dig her movie, I don't dig her. And I'm not a racist, and I can prove it, because I had some brothers get upset with me up in San Luis Obispo one time when I was riding up the California coast with my African-American girlfriend, and they asked me, say, is that your woman? I said, yeah, and they were like all pissed off, and I thought I was going to be the victim of a carjacking. I'm with my girlfriend at the time, she's black, and these two guys, so what's, I don't get it. You don't get what? What are you doing with her? She's a knockout. I guess I have a larger penis. I don't know what you guys are referring to. And they were upset. See, if you have a black girlfriend, it ain't worth it, really. I mean, it's fine if you love her and you have a life together, but it's not really worth all you guys out there that think that's some kind of a trophy. I told you about the time I saw Bill Maher at that party, that Arista 25th anniversary records party, and he came walking in with that model about 6'6". And for Maher, it's a double whammy. He's like 3'2", and he's got that shock of red hair. He looks like some kind. He looks like Dr. Zorba after a horrible experiment gone wrong. Something about the red hair and the small size. Maybe he was the one attached to Margaret's leg over there at the petting zoo. I'm telling you. You're a white guy and you have a black girlfriend. Sometimes it's more trouble than it's worth. A, she wants you to meet her family. B, she wants you to travel to her family reunions. C, she wants you to be a part of those big barbecues on Saturday afternoons. In short, you're the only white man there. I went to Jamaica on a family reunion with my girlfriend, and I was the only white man within hundreds and thousands of miles. Thousands of miles. And because of that, I got a lot of people coming up to me and going, how you doing? How do you like Jamaica, huh? Hey, let me buy you a drink. Let me do... And that's fine, you know, but I didn't want to be the center of attention. Walking down the street with my white legs, and when I say I'm white, and I had a big white Panama hat and a big white shirt, white pants, everything is white. And there I am, the one white guy in this van going down the road in Jamaica. Then I met her family. Her family's in the phone business in Jamaica, and they have a home above Kingston. Now, I said Kingston, didn't I? Don't ordinarily think of Kingston when you think of going on a vacation, do you? Most white folks go to Ocho Rios, whatever the hell that other place is, and Montego Bay. Ain't there enough? Negril, that's it, okay? Nobody goes to Kingston. Kingston is Bob Marley country. It's spooky down there, man, if you'll pardon the expression. But anyway, her family is loaded, and her, like her aunts and uncles, these guys are dentists. She's got another aunt or an uncle that's in the telephone business in Jamaica. This guy runs the telephone business of Jamaica. So they were having a party, and there I was in the middle of this party with, you know, not that there was anything wrong with it, but I became the center of attention, you know. Everybody wanted to seek me out and get the white man's view of, you know, am I as much of a jerk-off as I look like? Am I really a nice guy? And am I treating her well? And how do you like the country? And you know, you get those feelings a little bit. You know, you wander back into the kitchen to get a beer, and then maybe you think you shouldn't be there, so you retreat because there's folks back there having their meal, and they really don't want any white people intruding. And frankly, they had no reason to expect any white people would intrude. It's Jamaica, and it's Kingston, and what am I doing there? So that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, oh, and then the other thing about Jamaican people, which is completely different from anything else, the men don't say anything. The women talk all the time. So if you're in a conversation, like in a living room, it's the women are standing there having a rap fest, and the guys all stand on the periphery with their big fat mouths shut. And then on top of everything else, the Jamaican accent is so thick, they might as well be speaking Portuguese. I don't care. And the cat says to me, well, hey, man, you're president, or whatever, do you got a man who's not... You know what? You're going to have to back way up, okay? Start with when I first came through the door. What did you say? This guy's telling me about how he was basically telling me how he found a cure for AIDS. And for a half hour, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I thought he was talking about crawdad fishing or something. He's telling me about some profound scientific breakthrough, and I don't understand a word he's talking about. He was basically saying, I'd like you to have the copyright to this you know, million-seller novel because I can't use the money anymore. And I took it and wiped my rear end with the thing. I didn't know what he was saying. So what's the moral of the story? Halle Berry deserves that Academy Award. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.